Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be discussing this sizzling hot topic that has really been flaming for the past, I would say, 400 years or so. Calvinism versus Arminianism. Now, most Christians, I think, have heard of Calvinism, but unfortunately, I think they have a very, very wrong view of Calvinism, like our producer of this show, Dayon, who actually helps make this show, actually, he makes it run and sound good and everything. Well, Dayon, who is a very, very strong follower of Christ, several years back when he heard of Calvinists or people who followed Calvinism, he thought they were heretics. He thought that they were sons of Satan. I mean, he had a real problem with Calvinism. Why? Because he didn't understand Calvinism like he does today. Is that correct, Dayon? He's waving his head as he's turning red. So I venture to guess that some of you, if not many of you who are listening to this right now, when you hear the term Calvinism, I think probably some negative thoughts come to your mind based on stuff you've heard or maybe read in the past. We have Calvinism and we also have Arminianism. Now, here's what's interesting. Most evangelicals have heard of Calvinism and unfortunately have a tainted view of it, but I'm not sure a lot of evangelicals know what Arminianism is, even though, listen to me very carefully, most evangelicals fall into the camp of Arminianism. What do you mean, Andrew? Well, if you're Pentecostal, you're Arminianist. If you're Baptist, chances are you're an Arminianist. If you're Methodist, you're Arminianist. If you're part of the Free Church, Arminianist. Nazarene, Arminianist. Now, I'm not saying that every person in those movements is an Arminianist, but that's primarily what the doctrinal beliefs are. So it's interesting, again, that most people have heard of Calvinism. They have a negative connotation of it, which they shouldn't have, and hopefully you won't have one. If you do right now, you won't after you understand Calvinism. So most people have heard of Calvinism, but when it comes to Arminianism, which many people actually follow, even though they don't realize it, a lot of people aren't familiar with it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a brief history lesson on Calvinism and Arminianism. I'll try to lay out some of the doctrinal beliefs on both sides. And whatever I don't finish on this show, we will pick it up on the next show. We're going to do a two-part series on Calvinism and Arminianism. We're going to try to wrap this up in a very nice tight bow so nobody else has any questions. Even though the last 400 years you've had people arguing and theologians going writing just massive amounts of books on this stuff. But you and I are going to get this all settled in two shows. Okay. All right, here we go. Now, Calvinism. You guys have heard of John Calvin, right? The followers of Calvin are actually the ones who really, I guess, eventually were credited with this name of Calvinism. Interestingly, John Calvin was never a Calvinist because there was no such thing as a movement of Calvinism during John Calvin's lifetime, which, by the way, was in the mid-1500s. He died around 1580 or so. Arminianism gets its name from a gentleman by the name of Jacob Arminius. And just like Calvin, Jacob Arminius was not a follower of Arminianism. He was dead as well by the time this movement really got its name and its followers. Jacob Arminius' followers were the ones who were credited with really kind of developing this movement called Arminianism, okay? So, John Calvin was a Reformed pastor in Geneva. He was an incredible pastor. He had an incredible seminary Bible college there, an academy for preachers. Protestants who were being persecuted throughout Europe found safe refuge there in Geneva, found incredible spiritual growth sitting under the teaching of John Calvin. In fact, one of the gentlemen who attended John Calvin's Bible College Academy of Preachers was none other than Jacob Arminius. Now, I believe that when Arminius was attending Calvin's school there in Geneva, I believe John Calvin had already died. But, or the chairman of theology there at that college, Theodore Beza, had some good things to say about Jacob Arminius. Kind of like, you know, he had come to Geneva, not really very, very well grounded in theology, talking about Jacob Arminius. But once he had gone through the training there of Calvin's school there, Calvin's college, this chairman of theology, Theodore Beza, said, hey, I think this guy, Jacob Arminius, has really changed. His theology's gotten stronger. I think he's got a bright future to be a pastor. So the paths of John Calvin and Jacob Arminius crossed there in Geneva at Calvin's school. Again, I don't know if they knew each other. I didn't do enough research on that. But once Jacob Arminius graduated, he then went off to Amsterdam, where he wanted to be a pastor of a church. And it was 2 years later, while he was in Amsterdam, after he had already finished his theological studies in John Calvin's academy there in Geneva, it was 2 years later that Jacob Arminius started to question some of the teachings of John Calvin and what was being taught at John Calvin's college. John Calvin, just so you know, was a huge, huge, huge believer in the sovereignty of God. Whenever you think of John Calvin, just think of God's sovereignty, meaning that God has foreordained everything that will come to pass, and that which God has foreordained, it will come to pass. Why? Because God is sovereign, in full control of everything. Nothing surprises God. Nothing catches God off guard. God knows the end from the beginning. God is from all eternity. He is the one who was, who is, and who will be forevermore. God sits on his throne. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. God is sovereign. Tell me, do you agree or disagree with that? Chances are you agree with it, right? Because it's completely biblical. Well, that's what John Calvin taught. He was a strong believer in God's sovereignty, in opposition to some humanistic teaching that taught that man could initiate or control his future, that man had the power to influence things that were going to happen. In other words, that man was above God. Well, that type of teaching really was starting to pop up throughout Europe before John Calvin started, but during his time, and then definitely afterwards. Well, John Calvin opposed that, and I hope you as a Christian, you oppose that as well. Man cannot be above God. You know, man does not sit on the throne. To try to say that we as humans can force God to do something or can influence God to do something that can change God's foreordained predestined plans, that makes man as first cause and God as second cause. That means that God is not sovereign. That means God is not all-knowing. That means God is not all-powerful. That means that God is not in full control of everything. Christian, that's a problem if somebody says that about God. That's not the God of the Bible. So John Calvin was a brilliant, brilliant Bible scholar, brilliant, brilliant preacher, and a man who influenced Christianity through the Reformation in the most incredible way. I have a whole series of John Calvin's commentaries, his sermons he preached. When he would preach, he had, I believe it was about three to five people sitting in the front pews. By the way, Danielle and I were having his church recently in Geneva. Three to five people that were sitting in the pews there taking notes of his sermons, and then he would edit them, and that's how we have a large, large number of his sermons today. His sermons are incredible. His sermons are amazing. This guy would go up in the pulpit, right? And he would preach verse by verse, expositionally. And it took a while for modern day theologians to really figure out which version of the Bible was John Calvin using when he preached. You know how he preached? He preached directly from the original languages, Hebrew and Greek. He would then take that. He went up to the pulpit like that with no notes, nothing. He would preach directly from the original languages. In then he would obviously preach it in the language or in the French language. I mean, it was amazing. This guy was brilliant. And again, his entire ministry was founded and grounded on God's sovereignty. Now, Jacob Arminius had studied under that type of teaching. But unfortunately, as we're going to see after the break, Jacob Arminius went a little bit, well, he definitely went very far off base after he had graduated from Calvin's College and then went and started to minister in Amsterdam. We'll talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we are doing the first of our two-part series entitled Calvinism versus Arminianism. Now, if you're with us on the first part of the show, I spent some time just giving us a solid foundation of who John Calvin was, where he had ministered, and really what his, I guess, theological stance was, what he really believed. And again, when you think of John Calvin, I want you to always think of two words, God's sovereignty. That was John Calvin. This was a man who believed that God is all-knowing, omniscient, that God is all-powerful, omnipotent, and that God is everywhere present, omnipresent. John Calvin believed that God is in full control of everything. He is sovereign. John Calvin believed, and John Calvin taught, that God knows the end from the beginning, that God is the Alpha, He is the Omega, He is the one who was, who is, and who is forevermore. John Calvin believed, and John Calvin taught with incredible, incredible passion, the sovereignty of God. Now, how about this guy, Jacob Arminius, the gentleman who his followers eventually got the name of this movement called Arminianism. Jacob Arminius actually went and studied at Calvin's University, Calvin's School of Preachers there in Geneva. And I guess, well, like most guys who first enter into theological studies, you know, you start out, you come with all kinds of different beliefs and understandings from, you know, growing up in certain churches or growing up under certain theologians. Well, Jacob Arminius came to Calvin's school there in Geneva, and he had, you know, some, I guess you would say, maybe immature or rather unclear biblical understanding. However, during his time there in Geneva studying at Calvin's school, Jacob Arminius became a very good student. In fact, his the chairman of theology there at Geneva, Calvin's College, Theodore Bezer, actually has some really nice things to say about Jacob Arminius, saying he's really progressed, he's really matured in his understanding of Scripture, his understanding of God's sovereignty. And Theodore Bezer really felt that Jacob Arminius was going to have a bright future as a pastor, pastoring a church. Well, Jacob Arminius graduated. And again, as I said on the first part of the show, I believe he graduated after it probably, I believe it was after John Calvin had already died. So I'm not sure how well those two knew each other or even if their paths crossed. Again, I didn't do enough research on that. You could look that up on your own. But the point is that when Jacob Arminius graduated, he left Geneva and went to Amsterdam, where he wanted to pastor a church. And it was there, 2 years there in Amsterdam after he had graduated from Calvin's school, that Jacob Arminius started to, well, let's just say, veer off course in a big way. He started to not openly deny that God is sovereign, but he started to really push the idea of human free will. Push the idea to the point that if you do some studying of Arminius and his followers, you know, you start to go, wait a second, did this guy really believe that God was in full control? You know, Jacob Arminius really elevated this idea of human free will. And again, you know, you just think of a seesaw. Okay, if the seesaw is up in the air, let's call that God's sovereignty. Okay, man's free will would be down. Okay. But if you switch the positions, you put the free will up in the air, where's God's sovereignty? And so I think that's what Jacob Arminius was starting to do. And he ended up dying. I believe it was in early 1600s. And he had a group of followers who liked his preaching, who liked his teaching, who really liked what he was saying about human free will. These followers became the followers of Jacob Arminius. They came up with 5 points to summarize their beliefs regarding salvation. And those 5 points became the 5 points of Arminianism. Now, again, understand, Jacob Arminius was already dead at this time. It was his followers who came up with these 5 points. In fact, they posted them, I believe it was in Amsterdam, it was in 1610. So their 5 points really talked about, and I'll get into this deeper in our next show, but basically, when it comes to the 5 points of Arminianism, number one, basically, when it comes to salvation, their first point was that man's free will gave him the opportunity to be saved. They also believe, point number two, in the idea of predestination, because you can't get around that in Scripture, the idea of election, that God chooses, right? But they said, in terms of salvation, God's choice in electing somebody in eternity past, God's choice was conditional, meaning that God made the choice, Christian, to choose you way before the foundation of time, but it was based on a condition. What was that condition? God looked down the corridors of time and he saw that you would turn around and choose him first. And based on that, God made his choice to choose you. That's the second point of the 5 points of Arminianism. The third point of Arminianism is universal or unlimited atonement, meaning that Jesus died for everybody. Jesus paid for the sins of everybody, which then, they say, gave people the potential to trust in Christ. And I'll talk more about that on the next show. The fourth point of Arminianism is resistible grace. Even though Jesus supposedly died for everybody and wants everybody to be saved, nevertheless, we as humans, here comes that human free will thing again, we as humans have the power to resist God's offer of saving grace. And then point number five, they said that even though somebody does trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're never 100% secure in their salvation. You can fall from grace and lose your salvation. So those were the five points that the followers of Jacob Arminius came up with. They posted these points, somewhere, I think it was 1610, they're in Amsterdam, and this became something that was, well, wildfire that spread. It spread because you had a lot of Dutch Reformed people, people who were strong supporters of the teachings of John Calvin. Again, he was already dead by this point. But nevertheless, people believed in the sovereignty of God. And all of a sudden, now you've got these followers from this guy, Jacob Arminius, and they post these 5 points, and all these 5 points, and they all have to deal with salvation. These 5 points elevate man, his power, his ability, his desire, and his free will to control parts of his salvation, and even to be able to control the fact that he can lose his salvation. Well, again, this caused a wildfire throughout parts of Europe. And that led to what was a big synod, or basically a big council meeting, that was held in 1618 and 1619, about 8 to 9 years after the 5 points of Arminianism came out. This synod, as it was called, was the Synod of Dort. And basically, it was called a quin, which means five, quin quarticular, which basically means having to do with 5 points, okay? And the purpose of the Synod of Dort in 1619 was to discuss and to really wrestle through the 5 points, quin quarticular, 5 points of Arminianism that came out 8 to 9 years earlier. And it was there at the Synod of Dort that the 5 points of Arminianism were soundly, listen to me, rejected by the Synod. And it was there that the followers of Calvin eventually were asked to come up with a 5-point counter to the 5 points of Arminianism. Those 5 points became the 5 points of Calvinism. Again, John Calvin was already dead at this point. John Calvin's followers were not the ones who initiated this big, you know, debate between Calvinism and Arminianism. And I think a lot of Christians don't understand that historical fact. They feel that the Arminianists, you know, kind of just swooped in to save the day because of this oppressing ogre type teaching from John Calvin and his followers that were just forcing Christians to feel like robots. No, 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 no. Nothing could be further from the truth. John Calvin, again, what are the two key words of John Calvin's teachings? God's sovereignty. That's what John Calvin taught. And God's sovereignty obviously has its implications in every part of our lives, including salvation. Well, again, Jacob Arminius was a student at John Calvin's college. He was a pretty good student, at least according to the chair of theology there. He had some potential as he graduated. Problem is, he then went to Amsterdam and went the wrong way, and started to elevate man's power, man's free will. Well, when you do that, that's a slippery slope. Because again, as I said, think of that seesaw. You elevate man, his power, and his free will. What happens to God's sovereignty? Well, that seesaw part, that part of the seesaw drops. And eventually, that's what happened. And what came out of that were the 5 points of Arminianism. 5 points that were soundly rejected at the Synod of Dort. And then 5 points of Calvinism that eventually came out to counter this man-centered, human power, free will teaching of the Arminianists. So please understand, John Calvin is not the one who came up with the 5 points of Calvinism. He was already dead. John Calvin was not somebody who was this oppressing, brutal theologian who just struck fear in people's lives. John Calvin preached God's sovereignty. The ones who went off the rails, as you say, is Jacob Arminius. The ones who followed him, his followers, they went off the rails. And as we're going to see on our next show, I'm going to break down those 5 points of Arminianism. We'll go through some scripture. I'll break down the 5 points of Calvinism. We're going to go through some scripture. But listen very carefully. I'll just conclude with one verse. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 9, verse 16, when he talks about salvation, this is what he says. It does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. That one verse right there, by the way, which John Calvin preached, completely destroys, in my opinion, the 5 points of Arminianism. Salvation does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. I hope you look forward to our next show, where we will do part two of this hot topic, Calvinism and Arminianism. God bless you.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.